Excellent message. What a blessing. He taught me how to use PowerPoint this last week. I've never done it before. It's real sad. You know, old dogs are hard to teach new tricks, aren't they? But it's good to learn something new, and hopefully I can get through this today. Have some prayer requests. Actually, Caleb and Laura were here today. They're going to be here today. His father is going to be preaching this morning, I understand. That's going to be exciting. So I haven't met him yet. So that's be something to look forward to. Some prayer requests before we open in prayer. We have a group of people in Spain. We need to pray for them. Any report? They got in?
They did.
Good. Good.
They were
beat. It's like when we went to Israel. Yeah. Yeah, that was a good trip. Great. So let's pray with those that are in Spain, helping minister there. The missionary is? The Browns, that's right. Great. I think they're on our refrigerator. The Browns, I remember them. They had a son. I think they had a daughter or two. So let's pray for those that are in Spain. Any other prayer requests before we start? Shelley, good to see you. Can you pray for Shelley, Alan? Yes. Anything else? Science Club? Mark? Got a trip planned this fall? And we're going to where?
Blewett Pass.
Have you ever been to Blewett Pass, the Tiana Way up in there? Beautiful country. We went on a trip one time tracing some old gold miners and things that they did and holes that they dug. Unbelievable. That was a good trip. So we're going to go back again. Mark is a leader. Great, let's pray for the Science Club. Any other prayer requests? Good, let's start. We'll open a prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, you're the reason we're here. Without you, we can do nothing. Lord, we thank you that you did it all. You paid it all. Paid the penalty for our sin with your own precious blood, and then you just gave salvation as a free gift to whosoever will. And Lord, we thank you for those here who did, the whosoever will that did come. And Father, we just pray you'll bless the services this morning, bless the Sunday school classes as they go on. Bless Caleb's father as he preaches this morning. And Father, we just pray you'll have a great time this morning and tonight around the things of God. And Father, it's great to be with God's people in God's house under the hearing of God's word. And we thank you for all you've given us, especially a country where we can be free to proclaim the gospel and take it to the ends of the earth. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. This is a famous picture. It was painted by John Trumbull. He's known as the painter of the Revolution. He was blind in one eye. His attention to detail is unbelievable. There's a lot of things going on in this picture. But believe it or not, that guy right there is Benjamin Franklin. He's 81 years old in this picture. There's Jefferson right there. Jefferson was just kind of a tiller of the land, grew up on a farm. His folks had 10,000 acres. When they died, he split it with his brother. He got Monticello, that beautiful home up on the hill. And he was a botanist. He had a library of 6,500 books. He was a reader. He was a lawyer. When the British burned down the Library of Congress, he actually sold for $23,000 his whole library to restock it. And then he had to restock his own library again. So Thomas Jefferson, he was states' rights, personal rights, hated the king and anybody that tried to side with the king and anybody he was afraid might be trying to or go back to that way. One of his biggest fears that George Washington right there would... they would try to proclaim him King of America, and that didn't happen. But John Madison was one who always kind of sided, it looked like, you know, kind of going liberal. He was going to go back to the ways of England. But Jefferson had quite an opportunity. John Adams was going to write the Declaration of Independence. He felt, though, he could do it, but he felt there was somebody much more eloquent and learned than him, and that was Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. It was amended. They added a few things. They took a few things away. But by and large, It stood as he wrote it. Thomas Jefferson, tremendous. What an opportunity. And we'll hear more about those two later, Jefferson and John Adams. We have a great, great history, America. And you know what? They're trying to change that today. It was a nation founded by the Puritans, the Separatists. What's a Separatist? What were the Separatists? Anybody know? What would they want to be separated from? Now, they're also called the Nonconformists in England. A lot of them are a Baptist background. They didn't go for sprinkling babies and worshiping. I mean, the Church of England, the Anglican Church, it's still there today. They loathe that, and the Separatists, and these people love God. They just wanted to be free. But the Church of England tried to clamp down on what they believed and where they could go and what they could say in their pulpits. They said, we gotta move on, so they moved on. But there's a conspiracy against God in our country today. They want to ban him from everything, ban him from our schools. Wow, we can't have, can't teach about what happened in the Bible. Boy, we can't mention Jesus. We can't mention what effect these people had in our history. We're going to see some quotes in a minute. Pretty interesting. Trying to ban him in the public place. Valedictorians can't even speak the name of Jesus on giving there. Yeah, Shelley. Right, right. Sometimes you get a bold teacher that'll speak out. But thank God for private schools, Liberty Christian and others. But and kids that do speak out boldly in school and teachers that will give both sides of the issue. But there's conspiracy in the military. Can't mention the name of Jesus. Pray for Joe Hilliard. Good grief, he's in Quantico. How many give him a little note to encourage him? Do that. Unbelievable. They want to ban the name of Jesus. They want to ban the Bible, Christians, God. And it's pretty sad from where we came from to where we are today. You know, Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Isn't that something? Yes. At Battelle one time, somebody told me, you know, we can't say Christmas. I said, what? Oh, yeah, we can't mention that name, Christmas. I said, listen, Christmas. I said, you can't tell people they can't say Christmas. That was at PNNL. And she got some wild idea. But I thought, good grief. I said, we're going to say Christmas. It's Christmas. I said, what else is it? It's Christmas. Yeah, you have Christmas cookies and Christmas trim and go out to the bond. Go out to the mall if you don't believe there's Christmas. Yep. Psalm 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. And America wants to forget God. They don't like the mention of God. And but may I submit, the problem is not the homosexuals. It's not the liberals. It's not sports. It's not the ungodly. You know the problem in America today? It's the church. And if, you know what? The church is supposed to be winning the world. But the world is winning the church. It's creeping in. It's everywhere. And I'll tell you, pastors have, if we just had 6 months of preaching, hot preaching on hell in every church in the nation, I'll tell you what, there might be a turn. There might be a chance for America. But I'll tell you what, don't be like Jonah, though. Jonah wanted God to destroy Nineveh and the people. And there are people today, even Christians, we deserve God's judgment. That's true, but is that what we really want on our nation? I'd like to see a revival. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something if there was a revival in America? You know, they say revival starts with only about 2% of the people, and it can spread like wildfire. And you know what? They said they had revival sometimes, especially these charismatics, you know, they had this big deal in this town, and you know. I said, really? And did you go down on Skid Row? Did it reach down that far, this revival that they had, you know? And revival is really not reaching the lost, it's reviving the church. God's people, evangelists, to revive the people. You can't revive a dead person, the unsaved, but here's what happens. When there is a revival among God's people, they go out and start reaching the lost. It extends all the way down into the gutter where these people, the homeless, are lost, and there's no question about it. But I would like to see a revival in America. But they're trying to ban the name. And you know, one thing they're trying to do in public schools and in the public arena is say that these people weren't Christians. These weren't Christians. This isn't a Christian nation. Really? Well, you know what? Let's find out what some of them said then. What did they believe? Our first president, while we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion. To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the name of the more distinguished character of Christian. That's interesting. Somebody said that George Washington was so impressed with this one Baptist preacher in New York that he asked to be baptized. He was sprinkled as a baby. He asked to be baptized by immersion. I heard that. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's really something. Here's someone else. John Adams, the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence. Notice he uses the word the fathers, the founding fathers, were the only principles in which that beautiful assembly of young gentlemen could unite. And these principles only could be intended by them in their address or by me in my answer. And what were these general principles? I answer the general principles of Christianity in which all these sects were united and the general principles of English and American liberty. Now I will avow, and then I believe, and now believe that these general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable, that's unchangeable, as the existence and attributes of God. What a statement. Wow. Could be a Baptist preacher, couldn't he? Thomas Jefferson. Of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, 54 were Christians. Two, they say, were not. Do you know who those two were? Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson. During the Continental Congress, when they were hashing out some of the issues for the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, Benjamin Franklin called for a prayer meeting. It lasted 2 hours. Wow, interesting, isn't it? They were considered deists. They believe in a supreme being, but they didn't consider themselves Christians. But here was Thomas Jefferson said, God who gave us life gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis? A conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated, but with his wrath. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. Now, he also wrote, I am a real Christian, that is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus Christ. That's from his writings right there, page 385. How about John Hancock? He's the one that wrote the Constitution. Tremendous penmanship. He signs it at the very end. Remember that? And they have that on file. How many of you have ever seen it back at the Smithsonian? I haven't. My son has. First graduation, we flew him back there from high school. He graduated from actually homeschooled. And then we flew him back for his graduation with John and Marion Goff. Some of you remember John and Marion. Most of you don't. They lived there. He worked in the CIA. And 2 weeks traveling all around Washington, D.C., the Smithsonian. I think he went there 5 times. There's just so much to see. It's unbelievable. John Hancock said, resistance to tyranny becomes the Christian and social duty of each individual. Continue steadfast and, with a proper sense of your dependence on God, nobly defend those rights which heaven gave us and no man ought to take from us. Benjamin Franklin, here he is. This was quite a guy. He lived in Philadelphia. He was a printer. He was something else. I believe he was the first ambassador to France. Anyway, here's what he said. Here is my creed. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs it by his providence, that he ought to be worshipped. That the most acceptable service we render to him is in doing good to his other children. that the soul of man is immortal and that will be treated with justice in another life, respecting its conduct in this. These I take to be the fundamental points in all sound religion and regard them as I do you and whatever sect I meet with them. As to Jesus of Nazareth, my opinion of whom you particularly desire, I think the system of morals and his religion as he left them to us is the best the world ever saw or is likely to see. So he didn't consider himself a Christian, but he believed in the principles of Christianity and the Word of God. Someone else, Samuel Adams. And it is our duty to extend our wishes to the happiness of the great family of man. I conceive that we cannot better express ourselves than by humbly supplicating the supreme ruler of the world that the rod of tyrants may be broken to pieces and the oppressed made free again, that wars may cease in all the earth, and that the confusions that are and have been among the nations may be overruled by promoting and speedily bringing on that holy and happy period when the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may be everywhere established and all people everywhere willingly bow to the scepter of him who is the Prince of Peace. I'm reading this primarily. I know you can read, but we have a podcast. Those of you that are listening to this podcast, we'd like to invite you to the services of Temple Baptist Church here in Richland, Washington, but some of you may be our own members too that maybe are sick and laid up and aren't with us today. That's what Samuel Adams said. James Madison, 4th President of the United States, a watchful eye must be kept on ourselves lest while we are building ideal monuments, I love this, of renown and bliss, here we neglect to have our names enrolled in the annals of heaven. Wow. Isn't that something? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's what he's saying. You can get caught up with things on earth. And boy, we do get caught up, don't we? Roger Sherman, I believe that the souls of believers are at their death made perfectly holy and immediately taken to glory. This reads like a statement of faith in church. Listen to this. That at the end of this world there will be a resurrection of the dead and a final judgment of all mankind. And when the righteous shall be publicly acquitted by Christ the judge and admitted to everlasting life and glory, and the wicked be sentenced to everlasting punishment. Wow. That's pretty strong, isn't it? I get him kicked out of a lot of churches today. Andrew Jackson, I love this. The Bible is the rock upon which this republic rests. Boy, that says it all, doesn't it? That's one of my favorite quotes. Roger Sherman, interesting guy. He's the only one to sign all four of the most significant documents of the Revolution. The Continental Association of 1774, the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and the Constitution. That's what he's famous for, Roger Sherman. This was interesting. This is fascinating. I don't know how many of you knew this. These two guys were adversaries, always arguing about something. Down deep, they loved each other. And on July 4th, 1826, former President Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, who were once fellow patriots and then adversaries, died within 5 hours of each other on July 4th. Wow. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams were the last surviving members of the original American revolutionaries who stood up to the British Empire. Isn't that something? Think God's in it? Yeah, isn't that something? He allows us to live and to take our last breath. Saw my mom and dad's last breath. What a blessing. How many of you were with your mom and dad when they passed away? Your dad, your mom. Good. What a blessing. What a blessing. Thomas Jefferson, they were last surviving members of the original American Revolution and had stood up to the British Empire and forged a new political system in the former colonies. Wow. Interesting guy. And these guys, if you read what they, there's a lot more behind it than this, what he says, things that they believe. Christian. Charles Carroll of Carrollton, the only Roman Catholic signer, outlived his 55 conferees. He died in 1832 at the age of 94. Wow. How did he get along with all the additives and all the health food that we have today? Man, oh man. I mean, how did they do it? Well, I'll tell you how they did it. They got up and got with it in the morning. My mom, I'll tell you, she got up every morning. You kids stay in bed all day. I said, you need to get up, see the sun come up. That's the best time of day. How many have quotes in your mind, things your mom or dad said to you that still ring? Get up. When you get up, make your bed while you're already there. Yeah. Clean up. Well, she was something. Those things didn't move my dad so much, although he did those things. But boy, my mom, she lived to be 98 and a half. He was thus the only signer of the Declaration of Independence to see a steam locomotive. Interesting. Now, here's an interesting battle. This is a classic. I think this is also the Battle of Trenton, but there's a lot going on in this picture. Whoop. See these guns? It's an old flintlock. Not very accurate. Took about, if you're fast, about a minute to load. In that minute, a lot can happen. Look how close these people are shooting at each other. Yeah, those guns weren't accurate at a long distance. But I'll tell you what, there was some carnage. There's somebody already fallen there. This guy may be hurt. He may be deserting. I don't know. Back here, this guy's been hurt on the side of the face. This guy's encouraging him to get back in the fray. There's a lot to be said here. This guy, he's gung-ho. I mean, good grief. One thing that the American in the Revolutionary War did, they tried to take out all the officers of the, and you'll see that in a minute, of the British. And hopefully, remember, these people lived here. These British were from another country. They weren't happy to be here. And they found, towards the end, less and less to fight for. And but you know, there's something about this that relates to the church, to you and me. You know what it is? Suit up. Show up. And when it comes time and God says to shoulder our arms, we ought to shoulder our arms. And when he says fire, we need to fire to the glory of God. And I'll tell you what, these people are serious. This is life and death. And you know what? For a lot of people around us, it's life and death. Those of us that know Christ as our Savior, those of us that have been saved, we're promised eternal life. In fact, you know what? We have it abiding, the Bible says, in us right now. The only kind of life God offers is eternal life. If you lose it next week or next month or next year, it wasn't eternal. It wasn't the right kind, because it's just eternal life. That's the only kind. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual. They're not carnal. 2 Corinthians 10:3. What is one of the number one spiritual, if we're going to do this warfare, one of the number one weapons, what is the number one weapon we can use? Anybody know? The sword of the Spirit, yes, which is? It's the Word of God. That's it. And he said, above all, take the what? The shield of faith, too. The shield of faith. So there's some offensive weapons, which is the Word of God. There's some defensive weapons, isn't there? Prayer is the key to heaven, the songwriter wrote, but faith unlocks the door. Here's some famous quotes from Thomas Jefferson. The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Those that turn their swords into plowshares will plow for those that didn't. Wow, the right to keep and bear arms. He had a lot of other great quotes. Do you know what? Some never enter into the battle. The songwriter wrote, "Must I be carried to the sky on flowery beds of ease, while others fight to win the prize and sail the bloody seas?" You know, there's some that, or they fight a little bit, and then what? For some, look at this guy. This guy looks like he's on a dead run, but he may have just been getting back. They have to reload. I wouldn't, if I was going to reload, I wouldn't stand up in front and reload. I would get to the back. And then somebody else usually was coming forward, but I got a kick out of this guy. This guy is a young kid. Boy, he's ready to. Just looking at this picture, there's a lot of things going on here, and they can relate to the church, and we're going to do that in a minute. And in this passage of Scripture, and in assembly of, you know, we could talk about the founding fathers all day long, but what's really important is the freedom that they won us, they fought for, their sacred trust, and a lot of them were broke at the very end of this war. Some got rich afterward, too, but they gave to us. The freedom they secured is ours. There's no country. If you opened up the gates, it's called the gate test, of every country in the world had free borders. Do you know the one country that most everybody would love to come and live in is right here? You can still, there's still things to be invented. You can still make a fortune. You can, the American dream is still here. But they have secured for us the freedoms that we have today. Now, you feel like giving up? Are you tired, timid, and trounced? Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory. Do you know the victory's already been won? You know, yeah, they fought and won, but you know what? That was our personal freedom here in America. But God's won us something far, far more important than that. Thanks be to God, 1 Corinthians 15:57, who giveth us the victory. He won the victory on the cross for us. All we're doing is mopping up. Victory's already been won. We can have the peace that passes understanding, the freedom to speak the word of God. That's the First Amendment, freedom of speech. And what are we doing with that? I guess that's the question today. You know, here's another slide. Look at this one. General Mercer, he died right here. If you notice, somebody shot his horse. That's a pretty smart thing to try to get, remember, the leadership out of the picture? There's a lot going on in this picture. That's him down below. You can tell the way he's dressed. Regular soldier. Look at the generals. They're dressed different. See him? Something's going on back there, though. Something's going on back there. You know, the more I watched and looked at this picture, I thought, you know what? This is kind of like a church sometimes. We're in a battle. Okay, we're in a battle. I've got five things listed that jumped out at me. I know my mind sometimes can say, you know what? This is kind of like life. This is a body fighting another body. You know, there's warfare here. And that's what the Bible likens a Christian life to in our interaction with the world. We're in a warfare. We need the armor of God if we're going to prevail. The victory's been won. But you know what? Right here in life, there's victories that you and I are going to have to fight. It could be at work. It could be in our neighborhood. It could be in our family. But there's battles that we have to. You know what? They're looking back. Look at this. Washington says, hey, the battle's out here. These guys are saying something. This guy, too. Something's going on back here. Five things that might be going on. Five things. I've listed them. I'm going to tell you. The first one, they're arguing over the color of the flag. Now, relate this to the church. They're arguing, I wanted red, white, and green. They're back here arguing when there's a battle going on. I never did like those colors. Can that happen in a church? Oh, yes. The color of the piano, the color of the entry there, the color of the kitchen, you know. I mean, goodness. Oh, something that was on the wall here for decorations. Yeah. Something, you know the key to having a great life in a church, a Bible-believing church, and getting along with others is to not have a provoked spirit. Did you know that? There's, you know, one time a gentleman, I love him dearly, I'm not going to tell you who he is, stopped me right down there one time about 5 years ago. Probably, you know how time goes, probably 10, but he says, Steve, I need to apologize to you. I said, whatever for, brother. He says, it's been bothering me for 2 weeks. I said, really? What was it? He says, I cut you off at the roundabout. I said, what? He says, yeah, I cut you off at the roundabout. I said, I've been bothering me. I wanted to apologize. I said, brother, I said, I don't even remember that. And I said, plus, I want you to remember something. I said, if you did, you were forgiven before you ever did it. Now, that's the attitude we need with another brother and sister. That's what's happening back here. General Washington, the battle's over here. It's not those things back, whatever you guys are arguing about, we need to get here. There's stuff happening. General Mercer, he died right here. He died. He's being trying to be bayoneted. He's holding that off. He may get that guy, but right back there, he's going to meet his, he's getting ready to stab him. This guy would like to help. He's mortally wounded. These guys are in the fray. Praise God for Christians that are in the battle, up on the front lines. Okay. Someone got sidetracked. Number two. What are you guys doing? Oh, someone didn't say hi to me before the big battle. They walked through the foyer. Oh, so-and-so, they didn't even look at me and say hi. Oh, really? Huh. Well, you know what? Maybe they had something on their mind. Maybe there was a death in the family. Maybe they're in some financial difficulty. The reason we come together is to encourage one another. If somebody doesn't say hi to you, don't worry about it. They may have problems that you have no idea they have. And the key is, here's the key. It's not that they didn't say hi to you. Did you say hi to them? Well, no. So the key is take the first step. It's not going to cost you anything. And it can pay big dividends in their life because they may be going through something that you have no idea they're going through. So don't jump to conclusions. Got another story on that. We don't have time, though. It's a good one. The third thing I saw in that picture, General Washington didn't come visit me in the hospital last month. Oh, really? You guys, no, I'm not going to follow him. He didn't come visit me in the hospital. Do you know there's people in churches that say, Pastor didn't visit me in the hospital. Did you tell him you're in the hospital? No, but he should have known. If you go to the hospital, tell pastor that, or somebody, that you're going to the hospital, or that you've taken somebody to the hospital. They don't have a crystal ball. They may never find out about it till you get back. Okay? Virginia was having an operation one time. Pastor said he'd be there. We're getting close now. He hasn't come. I didn't panic. If he comes, great. If he doesn't, we're going to have prayer anyway. Anesthesiologist now has come out. Oh, wow. Now we know we're down to the last 3 or 4 minutes here. And he starts talking to her, and he's talking, and I thought, wow, the door's open. Here comes Pastor Gilchrist. He comes right up. Virginia, how you doing? Good. We'd like to pray. We're going to pray at this time. If you'd like to join us, talk to the anesthesiologist. It was classic. It was great. We all held hands, and he prayed for Virginia. And she went in, and we went out and talked till it got. It was great. It was wonderful. He showed up. Why'd he show up? We told him to. Told him what time his operation was. So, but these guys are arguing about that back here. Well, they're not going to enter in because somebody hurt their feelings. They didn't see him in the hospital. Good. Number four. The British aren't so bad, are they really? I mean, really. I mean, they're not too bad to live under. We can't do a few things, but you know what? Can't we just get along? Compromise. The old compromise. The old compromise. Grandma Smith, everybody knew her, had a dog. The dog's name was Homer. And you know what? When she died and went to heaven, she wanted Homer to be there. So she went to a Baptist church down the street and went in and talked to the pastor. She said, Pastor, I'd like to have my dog baptized. And he says, I'm afraid we can't do that. We're a Baptist church, and you can only be baptized after you're saved, and we don't baptize animals. And she said, well, okay. So she went down to a Methodist church, and she knocked on the door, and he came, the pastor did, and she said, Pastor, I'd like to have my dog baptized. Could you do that? He goes, well, we're pretty liberal. You know, we ordain homosexuals, and we don't believe most of the Bible, but one thing we don't do, we don't baptize dogs. So she says, boy. Okay, so then she went to a Presbyterian church, and she knocked on the door, and pastor came. She said, would you baptize my dog? And he said, well, you know, we're five-point Calvinist, and we believe a lot of things, but one thing we don't believe in is baptizing animals. So we don't do that. She said, boy, okay, thanks. So she thought a while, and then she went back to the Baptist church. And she said, pastor came to the door. Hi. Yeah. She said, pastor, would you baptize my dog for $1,000? He said, well, why didn't you tell me that he was a Baptist dog? Compromise. There you go. Compromise or compromise. And the British aren't so bad. Yeah. Aren't so bad. And number five, somebody back there saying, you know what, I gave $100,000 to the war effort. Nobody ever recognized me. I'm not going to fight. I'm going home. Wow, really? That's interesting. There was a rich man in a church one time. He had a building program. He gave $100,000 to the building program. And about 2 weeks later, then three, I wonder why the pastor never did recognize him for that. So he went up and talked to the pastor and said, you know, I gave $100,000, and but you never did recognize me or say anything in church to anybody. He said, you know what? If I'm going to have to recognize anybody, it's going to have to be Mrs. Green over there. You're a man of means. You got a lot of money. But comparatively from what you gave to what she gave, if I recognize anybody, it's going to have to be her. And he got mad and walked out. She gave what little she had. He had a lot. He gave only just a part of it, a small part of it. So, nope, not going to fight today. Didn't get recognized. You know, you really wonder, when Trumbull painted this, what's happening back there? But you sure could apply it to a church and in the battle. We're in a battle, and we shouldn't let those little things get in the way of serving the Lord. You know, what's the main thing? Well, the Bible says the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Okay, let's keep the main thing the main thing. So what is the main thing? The Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give himself a ransom for many. The Son of Man came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. So that, you know, Jesus did a lot of things, and they were good things, they were great things, but that's not why he raised the dead, he healed the lame. That's not why he came. Oh, he came to show us and to live an example. That's not the main reason he came. He did all those things. His main reason was to seek and to save that which was lost, lost people. So, you know what? Shouldn't what is first in his book be first in our book? I think so. What should we be caught up with then? What should we occupy our time with? I'll tell you what. Giving to missions, big time. This Herbert Grings, the Grings family, now his grandson's in Africa. He's in the Congo. They're building a church. They ran out of money for that church because the people don't have much. Other people have donated. He just got his letter, and they stopped building. Wow. Go you into all the world, Jesus' last words, and preach the gospel, beginning in Jerusalem and then Judea and Samaria, okay? So, world missions. The Grings family, I just bring that up because they're one of the two we give big time to. The Keough family, remember the Keough? Tremendous family. They're two boys and they're two girls. That's who we give to. You give to others. That's great. Keep it up. I just wanted to give you. Here's a prayer letter. Keep this by the bed. Please pray for Fa, Sok, Sri Orm, Nagi, and family, Tha, and Posey. Those names I can't even hardly pronounce, but you know what? He said to pray that they'll get saved. This is hanging right by the bed, and when I turn over, okay, I don't know. Those names are hard to pronounce, but pray for them, okay? So you can have that prayer letter right by. You can get one out here, or they're hanging out there. Have it by your bed before you go to bed at night. Prayer changes things. Did you know that? Prayer. I mean, I could tell you stories. It's amazing what prayer, the miracles. You could tell me stories of what God has done that you never expected to happen, but you needed to have happen, and how he did it was absolutely miraculous. Giving, okay? Praying for missionaries, then reaching our neighbors in our own Jerusalem, our neighborhood. How do we reach those people next door to us? What do you do? What are some ways you... I've got something here. You haven't seen it, but when you see it, it tells you how I reach them. How do you reach your neighbor? Do you even talk to your neighbors? Could you go over and borrow an egg if you needed to? Katie one time in her apartment needed an egg. I says, okay, I'll have that in exactly 2 minutes. I ran downstairs down at the Timbers apartment and I went along listening. Found one where there was somebody in there. Listening. Knocked on the door. Somebody was just leaving. It was her daughter with a grandchild. I says, we need an egg. We'd like to borrow an egg. I said, they don't do that today, but my daughter's making something like an egg. She says, oh, I've got some eggs. She went and got it. She said, here, take the whole thing. I said, no, I just need one. But I'd like two, actually. I'll take two just in case we need the other one. Oh, yeah, take three or four. No, just two. Okay, ran back upstairs, knocked on the door. Got that in exactly 1 minute and 30 seconds. Wow. We don't talk to our neighbors anymore, do we? We just kind of come and go. And that's what's bad about the iPhone, the smartphone. We're in our own world. And people, it's one of the insurance company's biggest deal now for car insurance, people texting and driving and killing people. They're in their own world. Okay. How do we reach out? Anybody? How do you reach out to your neighbors? Do you have any way? Yes, Bruce. Excellent. A neighborhood picnic. Yes, I love it. I love it. And you get to pray for the food. And you know what? We had a big gathering at Jenny's daughter, who's Melanie. And I got to pray. It was at our house. Yes. And I pray for those that were lost. They'll get saved before it's too late. Oh, man, there was somebody we've been praying for. He just looked like he was, I don't know if his foot was killing him or he was worried about, you know, going to hell. But you know what? Take that opportunity. Good. Yeah, someone else. How do you reach your neighborhood? Okay, Mark.
Get to know their children and invite them to Master's Club or the Creation Science Club.
Excellent. Get to know the family and the children. Invite them to church. How do you do that? Very simple. Very simple. Take this. This will do all the talking. This is our church. You can take it and read it. We'd like to invite you. I've done that at Walmart and talk to people and run out to the car. Keep these in your car. Very important. Master Club. My daughter-in-law, David's wife, Cammie, made that up. She took what was on the back there and put some of it in here and wove it together. We put some pictures for Master Club. There's the church. They're at the back. They're at the far end down there in that other track rack. Good. Here's what I do. See that? Everybody see those? Cherries? There's a whole orchard of them right back here. Pick them. Go to your neighbor. Before you go over there, get you a Winco sack. Well, that's what they're going to give you back here when you pick anyway. Take those tracks. There's some tracks. Suppose it's true after all, four plain facts. And hell, suppose it's true after all, too, is a good one. Put them right down in there. Hey, I got something for you. Got some cherries. I've got something else too, but I don't tell them about that. Put the tracks in there. And, oh, who doesn't like to have just freshly picked cherries? Yes. Here's something else I do. This is not this year, so I'm not going to give it away. Take some salmon. We're going to go to British Columbia again. Sockeye. Triploids. Sockeye again. Takes this guy next door, he's ungodly, but he just loves fish. He loves salmon. I take that. That's kind of a waste, though, unless you do what? Unless you put a track with it. Hey, I've got something here to read in your spare time, maybe before you go to bed. Tell you how when you die, you can go to heaven. That's all I say. That's all that needs to be said. Okay? He's going to do that. He's tickled to death. Okay? Here's why tracks work. Listen. Tracks can get inside homes and stay there. They've won the victory. It's far political, that we have the freedom we have. Now, we need to do this because it's a commandment. Go ye. Tracks never lose their temper or become involved in arguments. Tracks never flinch or show cowardice. Tracks can stick to the point without compromising. Tracks never get discouraged. Tracks are willing to be sent everywhere. Tracks work 24 hours a day. Tracks are not expensive. Tracks can be read many times over. Tracks contain portions of Scripture which God can use or bless. Isn't that great? There's more. This is tremendous here. If you want this when we're done, I'll give it to you. Here's what some great men of God said about tracts. Well, I'm going to read this, and then we're done. Nothing surpasses a tract for sowing the seed of good news. Billy Graham. Listen to this carefully. This is back in the 1800s. When preaching and private talk are not available, you need to have a good tract ready. Get good striking tracts, or none at all. A touching gospel tract may be the seed of eternal life. Therefore, do not go out without your tracts. Let each one of us, if we have done nothing for Christ, begin to do something now. Charles Spurgeon. Wow. Charles Spurgeon. You know what? The great missionary to China, Hudson Taylor, was also saved by reading a tract. Did you know that? Do you know how many millions of Chinese have been saved because of his testimony? He was saved by a tract. Wow. Interesting. We only have one chance in life. Don't waste it. The clock of life is wound but once. And no man has the power to tell just when those hands will stop at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth, that's sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. But to lose one's soul, the saddest still, that no man can restore. The present only is our own, so serve Christ with your will. We know not what tomorrow brings, for the clock may then be still. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this brief lesson. Lord, we just thank you for all you've done. Lord, you made it possible to give us the freedom in America. We thank you for those that have died for that freedom and continue to die today. But Lord, there's a greater freedom. It's a freedom in Christ. And Lord, we thank you that you give that as a free gift because you've paid it all. And Father, we just pray that we will go and do what you commanded us to do, not only in our neighborhood, but in worldwide missions and in our personal life, to use this freedom, Lord, to get out the word of God to those that are lost and dying because people need the Lord. So, Father, thank you for these dear people. Father, we thank you for all you've done. Bless the service that follows. Bless Caleb's father as he preaches, and bless the fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. You are dismissed.